Welcome to CodyCast. This is Cody Allen's podcast.
Now you probably know her face because she's such a popular character on the hit show This Is Us. Great drama on NBC, but also she's making a country music album. She's on the line with us right now. Chrissy Metz is here.
Hi, it's Chrissy.
Hey, Chrissy. Great to chat with you. How you doing?
You too. I'm well. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I am coming to you from my luxurious guest room, which is basically a table, a laptop, a microphone, and a phone. So it's, yeah.
Listen, I typically have my laptop on a Panasonic box, so I get it.
I mean, actually, CMT has done such a good job in like bringing stuff in. Like, I do have a camera in here for, I do a TV thing for them, so they brought a camera and they brought like a ring light. I learned what a ring light was in March.
And I know.
It's my same. New best friend. I could never now live without a ring light.
So, honestly, it's hard to like have like family FaceTime without one.
I know, right? And yeah. Now that we have like Zoom and I figured out how to get the filter so that you get the smooth.
Oh, I can't do that because then it's like, I just open up a can of worms with that. I can't. I'm like, Chrissy, you're going to have to just learn to love yourself just as you are.
Yeah, but I feel like you're right, because people probably think like, oh, have you gotten some Botox? Are you, what, are you, what is your, what's your skin regimen? Because it's definitely working, whatever you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. What I'm saying is I don't want to live a lie, is what I'm saying.
I love that about you. Yeah. We know you from TV, and also this song you just released is so good. I've been listening to it on repeat all day today. It's a really great song, and this is sort of your introduction to the world of country music. Although over the past couple of years, you've done some really cool things in country, including singing on the ACM Awards last year with Carrie, and just some pinch me moments you've had over the last couple of years. So why go into country? You want to tell us that first?
Yeah. I mean, music was always my first love, and it sort of got pushed to the back burner when I met manager, and it was TV and film sort of focused. But country music for me I grew up with it, and I just always loved it. And I mean, I've been, of course, influenced by all genres of music, but when it comes to country, I just love the storytelling of it. You know, I love when you hear the verse and you're like, oh, what's the chorus then? Like, what's the turn of the chorus going to be? And, you know, those are just really special aspects of country music that I've always loved. Yeah. And I always just keep coming back to country music. So, it just made sense.
That's cool. Talking to God really has sort of that twist as well. Because when you first hear it and that first lyric hits, you're like, where is this going? Uh-huh. Did it strike you that way? It's kind of like, oh, I love this kind of left turn it takes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you could go any way. And so I feel like it's always really smart. You know, those really cool storytelling stories and songs. And even though I didn't co-write the song, it was found at an Ashley McBride writer's retreat, or written. And I'm friendly with her and all the writers there, that when I heard it, I was like, oh, I really love this. Like, I really want to cut it. Is Ashley going to cut it? Who's going to cut it? And so, you know, I'm just really, I feel really grateful to be the first storyteller of the song.
When it comes to the first sort of release to the masses, a lot of people come out with like an upbeat kind of sassy song. And what was our temptation to do that versus a song like this that has more emotions?
Listen, I am upbeat and I'm sassy and all those things for sure. But I felt like it was a good medium between, like, you know, up tempo, but also having a message and also saying something in a real way. And that's sort of how I live my life. And so it just made perfect sense to me to start with talking to God. And then, of course, with actress coming next, it's, you know, one of those cathartic breakup song ballads. So yeah, it's but there are a couple sassy ones coming down the pike on the album. And one in particular going to be on the EP that we'll release in September. So not to fret, there's all sorts of things in the storytelling of this album, but I just, talking to God just felt right for it to be the first single.
I think it's a great first single, and I think your voice, I think it highlights your voice also, which I think is powerful. And anyway, I play a lot of female artists on my radio shows, so I love that you're bringing us something we can play and that sounds so good. And it has a powerful message within like 3 minutes.
It's not easy to do.
I know it's not. Yeah, it's not easy. So we'll be playing it on my shows.
Thanks.
Tell me more about the album. So is it complete?
No. So we just finished the tracking for the back half of it. So we have six more songs that I'm going to, track vocals on, hopefully with next week, with the social distancing, of course, mandates in place. So that'll just be one of my producers and myself in the studio, but we have 5 songs done, so that'll be the 5 song EP that comes out in September, and then hopefully the album before the end of the year.
You, before This Is Us became a gigantic hit, you played a lot of roles, and you really, you hustled for a long time. You were not an overnight success in Hollywood.
Oh my gosh, no. 12 years is no overnight success.
So tell me about that hustle, and then after that, I want to talk about sort of how that might help you in navigating country music a little bit, like that sort of perseverance and like not giving up on your dream. So first, how did you get, famous in Hollywood? How did you make that happen?
By the grace of God, sometimes I don't even know. I'm like, what? But honestly, I came out from Gainesville, Florida, and I was living in a 2-bedroom apartment with 6 girls on air mattresses, and taking these kids on auditions and never having any of my own. And it was like, what am I doing here? Am I like, is this the right place? Is this the right time? And then I became an agent's assistant, and then became an agent for 9 years. And I was like, okay, universe. Okay. Clearly it's not, maybe it's just not for me. And I think it takes a while for art to actually imitate life, and for people to be open and interested in having every single kind of person, whether it's age, weight, race, backgrounds, any of those things to be told. And I think it just took a while for people to think like, oh, there are people who are unconventional or who aren't depicted in mass media, that stories are important to be told. And so I just had to wait a lot longer than I expected, but I never expected this kind of response and this kind of success, in that it's not just monetary, but it's like heart and soul and your spirit is fulfilled. Yeah. And that's, I think, why everybody does art. So I didn't think it was going to happen. It did take 12 years. And so I feel like if I can do it, anybody can do it. And I think it was really about like, I don't want to give up now. Like, I feel like I'm so close, but you always have to check your intentions as to why you want to do something. And when you come from a good place, then the success is obviously relative, but also will come eventually.
Yeah. Maybe you've kind of answered this, but I know a lot of people listening right now who maybe they don't dream of being an actress or being a country music star or whatever, but they're just trying to make it, and they don't feel like they necessarily have the self-esteem, or they don't fit in, or they're a little different. And you, I think you understand all those things, being that I feel like you may not be, again, the what Hollywood may have wanted immediately, but they learn to put people like you on the screen because that really represents other people who would come and watch the show or see the movie. So speak to those people just for a moment who are listening, who are just struggling to sort of like find themselves and stay grounded and figure out that dream,
Yeah, well, interestingly enough, Devon Franklin, who is a dear friend and also producer, he produced the movie Breakthrough I was in. He always says that you have to learn how to carry a crown before you can wear one. And that was so profound for me. I was like, oh, I was doing all this work and I was doing all the things that I didn't want to do so I could learn what to do when and if it should happen. And I think that so much of, again, it goes back to intentions of, what are your intentions? What do you put your attention on? And what is your purpose in being happy? And I think so much of what all of us do is try to appease everybody else. And if you could come back to self and realize that you are entitled and you're deserving of being happy, whatever that looks like, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's, And also, I think that people think, like, if I've never found this, if I don't ever have this kind of house, or if I don't, you know, the sort of materialistic gain or success, that they're not successful. But success is not always measured in things.
Yeah,
it's really, you know, so much bigger than that. So I think also that's really important to equate into the bigger picture.
While you were getting there to all that success, did you have some odd jobs? Did you have some jobs where, like, you were just trying to get by, scraping money to, you know, pay the bills?
I mean, listen, I sold Invisaligns for, like, a season at, like, different, you know, fairs or whatever. I babysat a lot, and I worked at CVS, the drugstore, while I was also a junior agent and working in an office. You know, like, whatever you need to do to make ends meet, you know, is what you do. But I feel like my training was being an agent and realizing, like, behind the desk, learning all of those things. And, oh, I mean, that was tricky, because it's like watching your boyfriend take another woman out every day, because you're like, oh, great. You can go have a great time where I would like to be. This is so, you know, it's hard. It's hard, but I think it really affirms for anybody that, like, oh, I want to do this, and I want to do it for the right reason. So.
How about the Nashville hustle? Country music has received you, as I mentioned before, with open arms. You've done a lot of cool things over the past couple of years. And now with new music coming, obviously, we're embracing you even more. So what has that sort of transition been like? And how has sort of the family of country received you?
I mean, I keep saying this, but I feel like there's just very welcoming. It doesn't feel competitive, which is really refreshing. And I think when people are sort of, in any capacity, if they're very secure in who they are and what they bring to a table, they're not, you know, poo-pooing somebody else's, you know, dream or desire, because there's enough to go around. And that's what it feels like here. You know, it feels like everybody's like, oh my gosh, come, like, yeah, let's, you know, and it feels really nice, because it's scary. It's scary to pursue something that's so important to you. And then, you know, but up against, you know, people who might not necessarily be encouraging or supportive. So it's been nice that everybody's been very kind.
So are you splitting time between Nashville and LA then?
Well, I haven't left Nashville. I bought a home here in February, and then we came out in March to finish the album, and quarantine hit, and we have not been back to LA since. The roots are definitely growing here. But I definitely plan on coming back and forth. And it's not very far from where I grew up in Florida and all my family's from, and still. So it feels good. But whenever we get back to work for the show, as of course, then I'm when I get back to LA. But I don't know when that's going to be.
Yeah, you're right. Have you made friends here?
I have. You know, because I've been coming back for back and forth almost 2 years to songwrite, through the songwriting community, and then, you know, through my manager and different people. I definitely have made some really great friends. So it's nice. It's when we can actually socialize, it'll be great.
Right.
You
call yourself on Twitter a lipstick enthusiast. And
it's true.
This is probably the downside of the whole mask thing, because I feel like you can't see people's smiles. And if you're a woman and you're a lipstick enthusiast, they can't see the lipstick.
Agreed. But guess what? I still wear it. I sure do. Like today I went to go grab something to eat, and I was like, why am I reapplying my lipstick? Nobody can see it. I'm like, it's for you, Chrissy. It's for you. So yeah, but I thought about that too. A couple of weeks ago, I was like, what will become of lipstick? And I thought, okay, let's get masks that have a clear opening, so at least we can admire the lips, or at least see the mouth moving.
Do you have a favorite mask you're wearing right now? What does your mask look like?
You know what? I have a lot of the, just sort of those medical, the blue ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cause they're disposable, and that way, you know, to be safe as possible. But I don't have any really cute ones. I see people, like, they are really doing it up. And I think, Chrissy, you're really slacking on your mask game.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I've been doing like the bandanas because I feel like a bandana looks kind of cool.
Oh my God, the bandanas are sexy. They're there's like, you're like an outlaw.
Yeah,
I love them.
I feel like I'm dressing every day when I go out of the house, going to like a festival. Like I'm going to Coachella or Stagecoach or something.
Same. Yeah. That's what I think when I see people, and I'm like, for a split second, I'm like, oh look, and then I'm like, oh no, they're just being safe. They're not going anywhere. Yeah. They're not going to a concert.
Do you have a favorite lipstick color? Is there one you always gravitate to?
Oh my gosh. I mean, yeah, I always sort of go in like the pink and peach sort of family. I do love a red lip, and I have no shame. I'm clearly a very shy girl, so I like them all. I mean, I used to, like, in my younger years, I would wear like black or purple, you know.
Like, right.
There's really not a color that I probably won't wear.
I've also been following you on a Snapchat and all the social media, the gram and beyond. And I noticed something that we have in common is that I love accents. I love...
You do?
Yeah, I do. I love to do impersonations. It drives my kids crazy because they're like, Dad, stop. But
wait, how old are your kids?
So my kids are a little bit older. They're grown, but their entire, youngest is 18. I got a 21-year-old. But their whole life, I've done like all
so the- you've embarrassed them forever.
Forever.
Yes.
I can do all the like presidents. I can do-
Whoa.
Yeah, I know.
That's impressive.
I can do some of the foreign accents, which I noticed that's kind of your specialty is like these accents from various regions.
I mean, listen, I'm the reason why I do them so often is because I'm trying to perfect them. But the one I cannot get is Australian. I think Australian and like Kiwi, like people from New Zealand, those are or South African. Like those are really hard. That's, I mean, they are so hard for me. What is the hardest accent for you?
I think that one is hard. Let me just.
You're like none of them. I'm perfect.
No. I think Australian's hard because I always mix it up with being like a British accent almost, but it's got more of a drawl to it.
Exactly. And, they like chew on the words more.
Yeah.
Yes.
My former producer was from Australia, so I got to hang out with him a bunch, and he kind of taught me a little bit of how to do it because I always want to go into like a British thing and talk like this, and it's like very prim and proper. And then he told me it's more of like you have to slow it down a little bit and you got to move your jawline a little bit and talk about the shrimp on the barbie. And, and then hanging out with Keith Urban a little bit, that kind of helps too. Like he's definitely, he's amazing. But
what a cool guy. He is.
I mean.
Yeah,
just
I know.
Oozes it, right? I mean,
it's ridiculous. I'm not kidding you. Every single person that I've come in contact with are like, "Have you met Keith?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And they're like, oh, "Doesn't he smell so good?" That's the second thing that every single person has asked or commented on, and I'm like, oh, "He does smell good," mm-hmm. but I I don't think about that. I think about, you know, who he is and his music, but like, it's just really funny. But yes, Australian is a really tricky accent. And I do love to do it. I typically end up doing an English accent and probably offending every single person in the UK. And I apologize.
Yeah, same here.
Publicly.
Same here. Keith, going back real quick, I remember one time after a show, he did like a backstage, you know, come after the show and say hi or whatever. And I remember giving him like a, you know, a bro hug, and I smelt like Keith the rest of the night. God, I smell like Keith Urban.
Yeah, so what is it? Is it oil? It can't be cologne.
Well, I've narrowed it down to a couple of things. There is one cologne I know he wears. It's Bottega Veneta. I hope I'm saying that right. I believe that's Italian. That's one
hand.
And then he's got several other scents that I don't even know what they are. Like every time he surprises me,
though.
He mixes
them?
I think it's something new every time. And I've asked him this question, like, what do you wear and how do you do this? And he will never give me a straight answer. It is always.
I'm so glad.
Yeah. He will not give away the secrets.
He shouldn't. Because I bet it's been a while to perfect it.
Yeah. Back to the accents real quick. I thought I might play a quick game with you as we wrap up.
Oh my God, okay.
How about we start with, since we've both talked about this old English sort of British accent, and you tell me your favorite food in a British accent.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Okay. All right. Oh my God. I'm nervous. My favorite food is probably cheese. I really like cheese, like a ton. I like pizza, which is just like bread with cheese. And I like chocolates. I like breads. I love carbs.
That's great. So good.
Ridiculous.
How about a couple more here? Maybe do you do a New Yorker accent?
I can try to do it. I hopefully don't offend anybody.
Again, same story. I don't want to make this like we're making fun, but obviously these are regional voices that are really, I mean, they're fun to hear. So maybe tell me about your favorite hobby in a New York accent. How would that go?
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. So I really like to play tetherball. I used to, when I was a kid, I used to skate a lot. Quad skate, not like a rollerblade. I'm terrible.
That's really good. Tetherball.
terrible is what it is.
We will close with this. A Southern accent giving me your motto for 2020 so far.
Well, I would say my motto for 2020 is probably just to like really just enjoy what's going on. You know, like just don't worry about the past and don't be scared of the future. Live in the present.
Oh, that is so good. I loved all those. Oh, man. Well, people got to check.
Oh, my goodness.
Check out
only
this.
For you.
Oh,
only for you.
So good. I can't wait to see you in person. Hopefully on the other side of this.
Wait, where do you live?
So I'm in Nashville also. Yeah, I have.
Oh, okay.
I'm on the west side. So if you take, I'm about a mile outside of downtown.
I just went there yesterday. My friend lives right around there. So.
Well, come on by.
Yeah, right. I'm sure we've seen each other in passing and I just didn't know it was you and you didn't know it was me or something.
Yeah, no, I knew it was you when I've seen you a couple times at the shows and I've been like wanting to jump in like, hey, Chrissy, I'm a huge fan.
Okay, you better now. You have to now.
Yeah, I didn't want to bug. I didn't want to be that guy, but I will next
time.
You're
not that guy. And you better now.
And come on by. I fix like turkey sandwiches every day for lunch about 12:15.
What?
So come on,
how cute are you?
I know, you're welcome. We have like Capri Suns and Doritos with them. It's really.
Oh my God, if that doesn't bring me back to fifth grade, I don't know what.
That's what quarantine has done for me. It's brought me back to my childhood again, making sandwiches for myself. So
who do you make sandwiches for? I was going to ask you.
Me, it's me and the dog all day by ourselves right here.
What kind of dog do you have?
So I have a golden retriever. Yeah, his name is Teddy. And your friend Ashley McBride, I think, has a golden as well. What do you mean, oh no?
I just love golden retrievers so much.
In all seriousness, I will give you my number and you have my number, actually. You just call me. So that's my number.
This is your personal cell phone?
That's my personal cell. So so you take it in and then come on by because he's a friendly guy. Anytime, holler.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, I will do that.
It's been great chatting a little bit, and I will spread the good word about the new song, and we'll be playing it to start next week.
Sure. I appreciate that so much.
You bet, Chrissy. Take care. We'll see you soon.
You too. Okay.
This has been Cody Cast. Subscribe now on iTunes. Listen anytime on the iHeartRadio app. Cody is heard on hundreds of radio stations across America and seen on CMT Hot 20 Countdown every weekend. For more, go to cmtcody.com.